Usually, when a major technology company releases a new product, there's this expectation of extreme, almost obsessive control.
Oh, absolutely. Everything is locked down tight.
Right. You have encrypted repositories, staged rollouts, just layers upon layers of rigorous security reviews.
Yeah, that's the standard playbook.
But then you look at the incredibly fast-paced world of artificial intelligence development right now, and suddenly someone trips over a digital wire.
And it all spills out.
Exactly. The most closely guarded, highly sensitive blueprints in the entire industry are just, well, sitting out in the open for literally anyone to grab.
It's wild to even think about.
It really is. Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. Our mission today is to explore this fascinating and frankly terrifying intersection where bleeding-edge AI development meets highly opportunistic cybercrime.
Yeah, we're looking at a perfect storm here.
We have a stack of recent cybersecurity reports, and they detail the immediate aftermath of this massive accidental source code leak by Anthropic. That's the company behind the Claude AI models, for those of you who might not know.
The fallout was just instantaneous.
It was. We're going to talk about how a fundamental deployment pipeline failure exposed the inner workings of a really highly advanced AI agent, and more importantly, how hackers weaponized the hype around that leak to trick some of the smartest people in tech.
Oh yeah, developers, security researchers, you name it.
Right, tricking them into downloading a devastating double payload of malware. So, okay, let's unpack this.
I think the context of what was actually leaked really sets the stakes here, because we are talking about Claude Curd.
And that's not just a standard chatbot, right?
No, not at all. This is a massive step away from the web-based chat interfaces people are used to. Claude Code is a highly privileged terminal-based AI agent.
Meaning it lives right where the developers live.
Exactly. It's designed to sit directly inside a developer's command line environment and execute complex coding tasks completely autonomously.
Yeah, looking at the architecture notes from the leaked documentation, it interacts directly with the operating system. It manages API calls. Mm. And it integrates deeply with something called the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
The MCP. That integration is honestly what makes the software so unusually powerful.
How so?
Well, MCP allows the AI to ingest and synthesize context from across a developer's entire local environment.
So like everything on their machine?
Pretty much. Their file system, their active Slack messages, internal enterprise documentation. It gives the agent this panoramic, real-time view of the local machine.
Wow.
And it maintains persistent memory across different coding sessions, too.
But giving an AI that much access, I mean, that requires some serious guardrails.
Oh, a ton. The orchestration logic required to manage that safely, like the internal permission structures that keep an autonomous agent from just, you know, running arbitrary destructive system commands, that stuff is highly proprietary.
The crown jewels.
Literally the crown jewels of Anthropic's agentic AI research.
Which brings us to the leak itself. So on March 31st, 2026, Anthropic inadvertently shipped a 59.8 megabyte JavaScript source map. And this was right inside the official NPM package for Claude Code.
Yeah, just bundled right in there.
Now, if you work in TypeScript, you know source maps are a lifesaver for debugging production errors. They map dense, minified JavaScript back to human-readable code.
Right, they're essential for the devs building the thing.
But the real question here is how on earth Anthropic's deployment pipeline failed to strip that .map file before publishing it to the public registry.
It's a massive blind spot.
A huge continuous integration and continuous deployment failure.
What's fascinating here is that source maps are strictly meant for internal debugging. They are never supposed to see the light of day in a public release.
Never.
But this bypassed every perimeter defense they had. We are talking about exposing over 513,000 lines of fully unobfuscated TypeScript code.
500,000 lines? That's insane.
Spread across nearly 2,000 individual files. I mean, this wasn't just a partial peek behind the curtain. It included hidden features, build metadata, and all those highly sensitive security internals we just talked about.
It's like, imagine a bank is upgrading their physical vault, but the construction crew accidentally leaves the master architectural blueprints sitting on a table in the public lobby.
Yeah, that's a great way to picture it.
It includes the wiring diagrams for the silent alarms, the exact coordinates of the camera blind spots, just sitting there for anyone to grab.
Exactly. And the sheer size and significance of those blueprints, to use your analogy, is exactly what put a target on the community's back.
Because once the blueprints are out, everyone rushes to look.
Right. Attackers didn't even have to cast a wide net or, you know, send out millions of phishing emails. They just set up shop right where the traffic was already headed.
Yeah, the cybersecurity report calls this tactic event jacking.
Event jacking, yeah.
Yeah. The attackers saw this massive wave of human curiosity. The whole tech community was mirroring the code, dissecting it on Hacker News, blowing up Reddit.
Oh, it was everywhere.
So the criminals built a malware campaign specifically to intercept that highly motivated, self-selected audience.
Search traffic for terms like Claude code leak source completely skyrocketed within like hours of the discovery.
Not bad.
And researchers at Zscaler found that attackers capitalized on this by spinning up a fake GitHub repository. It was under the username Idzoom.
Catch name.
Right. Very trustworthy. But it posed as a genuine, helpful mirror of the leaked Anthropic code. But it carried a very specific hook.
The bait.
The bait, exactly. It offered unlocked enterprise features with absolutely no usage restrictions.
And to make sure people actually found that hook, they heavily manipulated search engine optimization.
Oh, heavily.
They stuffed the repository with keyword-rich descriptions, perfectly tailored metadata. Our sources show this fake repo was ranking at the very top of Google search results.
Number one spot.
Yeah, for queries like leaked Claude code. And because GitHub is a high authority domain, search engines just inherently trust it. They push that malicious fork right to the top of the page.
Which gives it this immediate false aura of credibility. I mean, you see a GitHub link at the top of Google, your brain automatically categorizes it as legitimate developer infrastructure.
Okay, but I have to push back on this part of the narrative, though, because I really struggled with this when I was reading the Zscaler report.
Okay, what part?
The victims here are developers. Security researchers.
Yeah.
These are people who build and tear down software infrastructure for a living. I find it really hard to believe that highly technical people fall for a classic click here for free unlocked enterprise features trick.
I know, it sounds crazy.
It feels like downloading a virus from a blinking pop-up ad in the early 2000s, you know? Like, shouldn't they know better?
It totally seems counterintuitive until you factor in the psychology of what we call the lowered skepticism state.
Lowered skepticism state. Yeah. Okay, explain that.
Think about the context of the user search here. These developers are actively hunting for leaked, unofficial, highly sensitive files.
Right.
They are purposefully operating outside of trusted corporate channels.
So they're looking for contraband.
Exactly. And when you are looking for contraband, you fully expect the packaging to look a bit sketchy.
Oh, I see.
You don't expect a polished, signed corporate installer. You expect it to be hosted on a random GitHub fork. You kind of expect it to make dubious claims.
Because the whole situation is already dubious.
Right. The attackers actively exploit the fact that the user's normal security guard is already down. The very act of finding the leak requires engaging with unofficial sources, and that creates a cognitive dissonance that overrides their usual technical caution.
Wow. The context dictates the caution. That actually makes a lot of sense.
It's all about catching them in that specific mindset.
So they lure these developers in with the SEO trap and the promise of unrestricted access. Let's look at the payload itself, because this isn't just a simple script that crashes your browser or something.
Oh, far from it.
The delivery mechanism is a 7-zip archive containing an executable. It's written in the Rust programming language and craftily named claudecode_by64.xc, which is exactly what a dev would expect to see.
Right. It looks totally normal. But running that executable silently triggers a highly sophisticated dropper. It basically installs two distinct, incredibly dangerous tools on the victim's machine.
A double whammy. Let's talk about the first one.
The first payload is a notorious commodity malware strain called the Vidar Info Stealer.
Vidar.
Yeah, and its sole purpose is rapid data extraction. The absolute second it executes, it targets the Squilight databases inside your browser directories.
Just going straight for the gold.
Exactly. It scrapes saved passwords, autofill entries, and it specifically hunts down cryptocurrency wallet credentials.
And session cookies, which reading the reports, that seems like the real killer here.
Oh, session cookies are the jackpot.
Because even if you're a smart dev and you have hardware security keys or complex two-factor authentication enabled, if they steal your active session cookie, they essentially just clone your entire browser state.
Yep, the server just assumes they're you.
They bypass the 2FA challenge entirely.
It's brutal. They take over your authenticated sessions on AWS, your company's internal Jira dashboards, your GitHub account, and it sends all of that back to the attacker's command and control servers within minutes.
But as damaging as Vidar is, the second payload is almost scarier in a different way.
Oh, sucks. Yeah, this is where we see the long-term strategic value of this whole campaign.
From what I'm reading, GhostSocks is a network traffic proxying tool. It kind of operates like a digital money laundering operation, but for internet traffic.
That's a really good way to put it.
They mix their malicious server requests into the clean, everyday traffic of a legitimate developer's laptop. So the security systems at a targeted bank or a crypto exchange, they just see traffic coming from a trusted residential IP address.
Right. It utilizes the SOCKS5 protocol to turn the infected computer into a node in this massive residential proxy network.
And then they sell that access, right?
Exactly. The attackers sell access to this network to other cybercriminals. It completely masks their true origin. It allows them to bypass geo-restrictions, evade IP-based rate limiting, and launch these credential stuffing attacks that look completely benign to enterprise firewalls.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It's like, okay, a burglar breaks into your house, steals all your jewelry and cash.
That's the VDAR payload.
Right, that's VIWAR. But then, instead of leaving, they install a secret back door so all their criminal friends can use your house as a hideout to launch other crimes.
Yes.
That's GhostSocks.
That is exactly what GhostSocks is doing. You become an accomplice without even knowing it.
And I noticed in the report that the attackers were constantly pushing updates to that 7-zip archive on GitHub. That has to be an evasion tactic, right?
Right.
Trying to outrun signature-based antivirus solutions.
Oh, absolutely. They are aggressively rotating their obfuscation techniques. Every single time a security vendor flags the file hash of that Rust executable, the attackers just recompile the code with slight modifications.
Just tweak it a little to change the signature.
Yep, changes the signature, and they push a new release to the fake GitHub repo. Zscaler researchers even found a second nearly identical repository where the attackers were testing a broken download ZIP button.
Wait, why a broken button?
To track engagement metrics. They were testing different delivery mechanisms to see what got the most clicks. It proves this is a highly active, iterating threat.
So they're essentially applying modern continuous integration and A/B testing methodologies, but to malware delivery.
They treat their malware campaigns like a software as a service product. It's wild. They iterate based on deployment metrics and detection rates, just like a legitimate startup would.
This incident really highlights a massive vulnerability in how the modern tech stack operates. It exploits the inherent trust we place in established platforms.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, GitHub is the center of the open source world. Millions of developers interact with it daily.
You just implicitly trust it.
Right. A well-crafted repository with a convincing readme file, maybe some forged star counts, and a fake commit history. It easily passes a cursory inspection by a busy engineer who just wants to pull down some code and get back to work.
So if you're listening to this, what does this all mean for you? How do you balance the need to explore bleeding-edge AI tools without treating every new GitHub repository like a live grenade?
It's tough. Defending against this is incredibly difficult for IT teams because you cannot simply block GitHub at the firewall level. You'd break your entire engineering department.
Right. Productivity would grind to a halt.
And relying on developers to perfectly spot a well-disguised malicious fork 100% of the time, that is a losing strategy. Human error is inevitable, especially during a fast-moving, high-stress hype cycle like this Anthropic leak.
So how do organizations handle this practically? Because traditional antivirus obviously isn't sufficient if the attackers are constantly recompiling their executables.
For individuals, the first rule is simple. Never download software claiming to offer unlocked commercial tools. It's always a trap.
Always.
Always. You should also verify repository's age, look at the commit history, check the issue activity before you download anything.
And for companies.
This is where structural defenses like advanced endpoint detection and response, or EDR, come into play.
Because EDR doesn't just look at the static file signatures, right?
Exactly. Modern EDR monitors active system behavior using heuristic analysis and API hooking. So if that Claude code underscore by 64 executable suddenly attempts to scrape the browser's memory space for session cookies.
Or tries to open hidden network sockets for proxy routing.
Right. The EDR flags that anomalous behavior and quarantines the process immediately.
It monitors the behavior inside the building, not just the ID badge at the front door.
That's a perfect way to phrase it. And network level monitoring has to be critical here too, specifically for catching that VDAR exfiltration. Network teams need to actively monitor outbound traffic for known command and control communication patterns.
So if a developer's machine suddenly tries to blast a compressed archive of encrypted data out to some unrecognized overseas IP address.
You sever that connection immediately. Furthermore, organizations must enforce strict execution policies. Any binary downloaded outside of an approved official package manager must be treated as untrusted by default.
Put it in a sandbox.
Exactly. Run it in an isolated sandbox environment first.
But let's look at the worst case scenario. Say you are listening to this right now, and you remember searching for that Anthropic leak last week.
Uh-oh.
And you realize, oh no, I clicked on something that fits this description perfectly.
Yeah.
What is the emergency incident response protocol?
Time is the absolute most critical factor. Step one is physical containment. Disconnect the affected machine from your network entirely.
Like literally pull the plug.
Literally pull the Ethernet cable, disable the Wi-Fi adapter. You have to stop the active exfiltration of data and cut off ghost socks from utilizing your IP address for outbound attacks.
Okay, what's step two? Because I assume you have to act as if the whole system is totally compromised. You definitely cannot try to change your passwords on the infected machine, right?
Do not do that. Because the malware is likely still observing your keystrokes, you go to a separate, entirely clean device.
Like your smartphone on a cellular network.
Yes, that's perfect. Use a clean device and immediately revoke your active sessions. And remember, it is not just about changing passwords.
Right, the session cookies.
You have to invalidate OAuth tokens, rotate your AWS API keys, and secure your identity provider accounts.
And then alert the IT team.
That's step three. Alert your security team so they can pull the system logs and perform a real forensic analysis. They need to see exactly what source code or proprietary data that Vidar Steeler managed to grab before you pulled the plug.
Man, the timeline of this entire event is just a dark marvel of malicious efficiency.
It really is.
On March 31st, Anthropic accidentally includes a .map file in an NPM package. By the very next day, the code is heavily mirrored across forums. Search interest explodes. And by April 2nd,
just 2 days later,
within just 48 hours of the initial accidental exposure, a fully optimized SEO-ranked dual payload malware trap was actively ensnaring tech-savvy users. Cybercrime moves exactly as fast as human curiosity.
The moment there's blood in the water, the predators are already organized. They are leveraging the exact same agile development methodologies as the software engineers they are targeting.
Which dramatically reduces their time to market for these exploits.
Exactly.
It is a completely new landscape. And it leaves me with one final thought to mull over. Something I actually haven't been able to stop thinking about since reading through these threat reports.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
We just spent this entire deep dive talking about human hackers weaponizing an AI's leaked source code.
Right.
They used human ingenuity to set a social engineering trap based on the hype around an AI tool. But as AI agents, like Claude Code itself, gain more autonomous control to execute complex system-level tasks, how long will it be until the malware itself becomes an autonomous AI agent?
Oh, wow.
Think about it. What happens when the attacker isn't a human pushing A/B tested updates to a GitHub repo, but an AI that can redesign its own obfuscation techniques in real time?
It would adapt instantly.
Imagine a virus that doesn't just blindly follow a static script to steal session cookies, but actively writes and rewrites its own code on the fly. It could analyze and outsmart your specific EDR defenses faster than any human security researcher ever could. A self-evolving autonomous threat.
Yeah, that is the inevitable next frontier of cybersecurity. And honestly, it is precisely why understanding these complex integration architectures now is so critical for defense.
Yeah.
We have to be ready for what's next.
It is a really sobering thought to end on. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious out there. But when it comes to those unlocked enterprise features on the internet, stay very cautious.